give a quick overview of the satellite data products that NRL generated both in near real time and to give you some pointers as to where you can access that data now after the fact. I'd like to acknowledge the team that we have at NRL Monterey, especially our webmaster, John Kent, who leaps tall buildings in a single bound. He's a super individual and helped tailor the ITOP web page. So what I'd like to do is focus both on the geostationary and the Polaroid data that Jim mentioned a moment ago. Obviously, we're focusing on MTSAT, Japanese geostationary satellite. But basically, we make our bread and butter with regards to the wealth of polar border satellites. In this case, a wide variety of imagers, visible and infrared, and you've seen a couple of examples of those already in the talks in the last couple of days, specifically MODIS because of its 250-meter resolution. But the wealth of microwave imagery is what makes NRL Monterey a viable entity with regards to tropical cyclone studies by virtue of being able to see through non-rainy clouds. So we basically use a constellation of both operational and R&D satellites, both from NASA and NRL DC in terms of Windsat. So we use both imagers and sounders, and we have available radar, i.e. ASCAP, the scatterometer from the Europeans, CloudSat, cloud radar, and the precipitation radar from Terrain. And we do that via collaboration with Cleveland Merkle, the Air Force Weather Agency, NASA, NOAA, the Naval Oceanographic Office in Mississippi, and Colorado State. So by virtue of leveraging basically billions of dollars of satellites and infrastructure, we can, and basically with a data latency of less than an hour for geostationary and approximately 1 to 3 hours, depending on whether it's ascending or descending, provide products basically around the planet, in this case, ITOP focused, for the field program efforts. So we receive about 300 gigabytes of digital data a day in collaboration with our partners. Why are we doing this? In the context, you've seen many of the examples. This is just one where we have the infrared on the top, what we call the Dvorak curve, which is enhanced for very cold cloud tops to extract tropical cyclone intensities. And then on the bottom here, we have 85H and what we call the 85 color product, which uses the polarization difference between vertical and horizontal polarization. So in this case, we can see there's a distinct lack of convection in the western semicircle. The next example for Maggie, and someone else showed something similar in the top left here with regards to the beautiful cloud-free eye. One can see now in the corresponding microwave data that we're going through a concentric eyewall cycle. So it provides a wealth of structure information in terms of the eyewall and the rain bands that otherwise would not be feasible. So the NRL ITOP tropical cyclone web resource looks similar to this, where the actual INVEST number, which we coordinate with Pat in the Monterey Operations Center, and Pat has the Master Chief Sheet, which aligns the ITOP INVEST to the actual storm. So please look at the ITOP webpage to get the Master Sheet. And then basically these are the microwave sensors themselves, and they're all color-coded when we're doing real-time operations. Green is the most recent, yellow, and then red is after 12 hours old. The VIS and the IR imagery, and then it's in the top right here, and then the what we call the path schedule, which isn't really relevant after the fact, and the latest VIS or IR imagery. The point here is that we were able to turn on and off the domain as we went and basically do this in real time. So Pat and Pete and myself basically drove the satellite web page such that we could basically train these sensors on each of the ITOP inputs. So this is what the ITOP NRL web page looks like now. We obviously have no active storms. All the INVEST are listed here. The little red button to the right of each INVEST is the KML link, and we'll show you an example of that in a moment. So for whichever INVEST that you're interested in, just click on the button and up will come the NRL page that looks similar to this. All these will be red, obviously, since they're more than 24 hours old. So to give you an example of how to glean in the most efficient time the passive microwave imagery, if you click on your storm of interest and then click on what's called the pass mosaic button, which is on the top, basically what it does is it shows you the last 24 hours worth of microwave imagery from whichever sensor, whether it's SSMI, Windsat, AMSU, et cetera. And it's done in chronological order, which really doesn't make a big sense when we're doing it after the fact. The point that I'd like to make is there's a little previous button in the top left there. So at a day at a time, you can move back through the temporal history of that particular invest or storm and look at the wealth of microwave imager and sounder data for that particular system. So you can step through, click on these thumbnails if you want to look at it in full JPEG resolution. So in the catalog that Jim mentioned, you can look at the big picture. These are the MTSAT Western Pacific domain that were generated and used in near real time. Also, I would like to note, many people forget that we do have the MSP, the OLS. This is nighttime visible. So when you have sufficient lunar illumination, in this case for Typhoon Negi, this is at night. So we're able to look at lunar reflection off the top of the clouds and see the excellent structure in the clouds at night. So you have to have, again, sufficient lunar, and you can look in the visible under OLS on the NRL webpage. We noted someone earlier showed the rain rate product. So for the microwave imager data, we do generate rain rates, wind speeds, and total precipitable water. This is just one example of an AMSR E rain rate. Next is an example of total precipitable water. And the scale is in millimeters. Unfortunately, you can't see it at the bottom here. In this case, as Maggie is coming towards Taiwan, you can see a dry slug of air that is being trained on the western side and is starting to inject into the southwestern segment. One of the items that I'd like to emphasize is that Windsat ocean surface wind vectors. This is a polar metric radiometer. It's passive, not active. The folks at NRLDC have recently made a significant upgrade to the wind vector algorithm such that they now are confident with the retrievals up to about 30 meters per second. So the ones that we did in real time and are on the web page are not as good as the most recent algorithms. So if you are interested in Windsat wind vectors, please contact me. My contact number is on the last page here, and I will do my best to get that Windsat data to you. You should also note that we have CloudSat vertical cross sections. This is the cloud radar. In this particular case, we've overlaid the track of CloudSat on top of an 85 gigahertz microwave image, and then this is going from the south to the north, and we're transecting through basically the genesis stage of this particular system, and you can see the three-dimensional slice via the cloud radar with the reflectivities here, and you can see the vertical scale here on the left. One item of note, as Jim mentioned, with regards to Google Earth, this is what the Google Earth display looks at if you click on the KML button to the right of any of the MBEST numbers. And this example is for Maggie. So every 6 hours, we have basically the best track position. If you click on any of the Typhoon symbols here at 6 hourly intervals, one of the following GUIs will cock up and basically show you all the satellite images or products, whether they be geostationary or polar order, from that point to the previous 6 hour point. So there's 6 hours worth of satellite products here, and then if it's a microwave image or a microwave sensor, then you see the suite of microwave products to the right here. The color coding here is the blue, and the green is excellent coverage, the red is poor, and the yellow is medium, just to give you a quick assertion as to whether that image covers the center of the system at that particular time. So if you were to click, this is just one example for Maggie when we have double eyeballs, and then you can overlay any other Google Earth or KML files that you have, whether they be aircraft tracks, model data, et cetera. You've gone to and generated the PNG files. You can overlay and turn on and off the appropriate data sets. So this is just an example that, Pat showed yesterday with regards to overlaying this WC-130 flight tracks on top of the 85H products. One of the things that we did special for this effort was grabbing the AMSR E sea surface temperatures. We simply grabbed that data and then processed it. We did no smoothing to the data. We'll just step through as the cold wave evolves. We do have the digital data for this. And this was also used, obviously, for flight planning in terms of deployment of the floats and the drifters. And I should note that all the data that you've seen here, all the JPEGs and the Google Earth products are archived online at our site down here. In other words, they have not been deleted. They have not been put back to tape. They're all online on disk, so the retrieval process is very quick. All the JPEG products are archived at MPS and EOL as well. In other words, if you go to the catalog that Jim mentioned, the JPEG products are there. All the digital satellite products are archived at NRL and soon, hopefully, back at MPS. The digital products are not yet at EOL. So if you have any specific needs for digital data, please give me a call or send me an email, and we'll do our best to satisfy your request. I should note that since we receive 300 gigabytes a day, and we're a relatively small outfit, we don't have the resources of a but that Jim has. Our tape backup system is nowhere near as extensive and user-friendly, so we do not have the capability to pull back. For instance, let's say somebody wanted 2 weeks of hourly MTSAT data in digital form. That's a relatively major pain for us to do. So please, if you have a request, come and see me. We'll do the best that we can. But for extremely large requests, we would probably send you to NOAA class system, which has a very efficient retrieval process for a variety of products that would be of interest to some of the folks in this room. But we'll be glad to work with you if digital data is indeed needed. So thank you very much. Any comments, questions? Yes.
Can some of these products, would it be beneficial for somebody to look through the catalog and find the image they want and then get directly the link to where the data file is, JPL or AEC, wherever the things potentially get migrated? I know if you go to the class system, you have to get a shopping cart and go through, you know, the checkout line or something like that. And this is always, I don't know, seems so wrong. But
I agree.
It also you lose the benefit of having flipped through everything right there on the site. If we can somehow get pointers directly to the data, that would make that kind of those tool analysis work.
I agree. So one of the reasons that we've made the web page the way it is and enabled the user to efficiently move through the data and ascertain which small set of data is potentially something that they want to look at in a digital form. Once they've done that, then we can relatively quickly grab the digital data that they need. The bigger question then is, what is your particular homegrown software ingest capabilities? Can you handle it? Do you need a NetCDF or an ASCII or a binary or whatever, MacGyver's area files? Everyone's got their own. Do you use IDL? So let us know what it is that you use, and we have a variety of means to reformat the data. We'll work with you to the best that we can to satisfy your needs. We can facilitate MATLAB as well.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier best track based on satellite observations. So I think one big task for ITOP is really to establish the best track, of course, for the storms of interest. I was just wondering, once it gets onto IB tracks,
yes,
is that considered to be the best of the bestest?
I mean, the way IB tracks works is that they take in all comers. So whether it's JTWC or JMA or somebody else, they put all those tracks in and they don't attempt to make a new best track. They leave that up to the user. So the question that we were kicking around and Pete and I have worked with regards to TCS-08 is it in the best interest of ITOP to take, say, Panopi, Malakas, and Megi and come up with our own best track? I would say yes. The question is, what group gets together to generate such a track and then disseminate it to the entire group?
There will be a working group this afternoon that's supposed to answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're wrestling with that problem too. I can say for sure that the stuff on IV tracks is just the same as you get from GWC or JMA. Just to be in place to go together. But what I was kind of hoping was that the track information that's contained in the SIND web page that has the three or four different techniques for estimating intensity, including SEFON, which seems to be the gold standard now, or this microwave enhanced ADT. But I found that the positions that were in those files, for example, were not parallax correct. So that there was major differences between where we were estimating the position for the aircraft and where the satellite was indicating in that file. Particularly, the imaging the storm center from the satellite back was visible.
So, and the bottom line here is we have a combination of data, whether it's high-resolution SAR data, a variety of passive microwave data, visible and infrared. We've got WC-130 data. We've got radar data. We have a wealth of data, and a team of experts should be put together to facilitate what we believe is the best track, both in terms of position and intensity, such that the entire group can do that.
Our next speaker will be Scott, talking on